Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is November 10th, 2010. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have author Miss Elaine Flowers from Texas, and she's going to share with us about some of her books that she's written. And before we introduce her, let me introduce my co-host, Boyd.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, and we want to thank all you listeners for tuning in every Wednesday and promoting and supporting the show. And we ain't going to hold you up. We're going to get right to it, and we're going to pass the mic over to Miss Elaine, and we're going to have to introduce ourselves formally, and we're going to get to rocking.
Good evening, everyone. Like they said, I'm Elaine Flowers. I am the author of It's Morning, Torn Lovers and Their Stories, and Black Beauty, and the upcoming Broken Appointments, which will be released February 14th, 2011. And finally, I am also the author of I Wouldn't Mind Having a Husband, I Just Don't Want to Be Somebody's Wife, which is my work of nonfiction.
All righty then. So we're going to get right to it. First of all, we want to thank you once again for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
On the show, not a problem. And we want you to just start off from, you know, how you grew up and what led you to writing, and then we'll get into other questions.
Okay, great. Well, I have always been a fan of books and reading, and I believe it was way back when, I won't even say how long ago, but when I was in elementary school, I remember daydreaming about being a published author. And a lot of years passed before I even thought about it again, and I looked up one day and I was writing full-time and had become a published author before it dawned on me that I used to dream about doing this. Way back then, I used to write little stories and pass them around to my friends when I should have been doing my schoolwork. And so I've just always loved writing and creating characters and creating situations and stories. And fiction is my first love. But I'm having a lot of fun with the nonfiction book that I've done, and I wouldn't mind having a husband. I just don't want to be somebody's wife was something that I used to say after I was divorced 20 years ago. First, I was saying, "Oh my God, I will never, ever, ever do that again." I got married when I was 20, and then when I was divorced 5 years later, I just thought, you know, how did I get myself into that, and why didn't somebody warn me how hard that was going to be, and why didn't somebody try to stop me or whatever. And so then after some time passed, and I thought, well, you know what, I wouldn't mind having a husband. I just don't want to be somebody's wife, which is where that title came from. And the reason I wrote that book was because as a hairstylist, I would have so many single, never-been-married clients that would sit in my chair week after week and, you know, complain about, oh, I want a husband, and when is God going to send me my husband? And I used to think, boy, they don't even know what they're going to get into. And then it dawned on me that they wanted, well, some of them wanted husbands for selfish reasons, which was my selfish reason of wanting to have a husband but didn't want to be a wife. And, you know, wanting all the benefits of being married without having to do all the work. So that's where the idea for that book came from.
Dig that. So if I'm hearing right, you know, you want all the benefits, but you ain't willing to work partnership for the benefits.
Well, that was something that I used to say, and so
right,
I thought that was a catchy title, and so I'm using that title to hopefully garner some attention. But I do believe that a lot of single, never been married women want to be married for selfish reasons. I really do.
Dig that, because in a marriage, you know, if you're really trying to accomplish something from the ground up, you know, you both got to be on the same page. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And I have not been successfully married, so I'm not trying
to
necessarily tell.
Plane.
Right. I'm not necessarily trying to tell somebody how to do it, but understand the reasons why you want to do it and
exactly.
What to
you're
look for before
up.
Getting into it. Yes. Yeah,
like you're opening the eyes up to what's really happening.
Yes.
So that's why I say I'm listening to exactly what you're saying, and I just wanted to put that out there to the listeners that's listening. You know, don't just jump and get married just because you know you feel like you got benefits from being married. Because being married, if you're really trying to accomplish something, it's a team effort. You know what I mean? It's not
that's
just
right.
One person sitting back. And
that's
the other
correct.
One just getting all the goodies. That
that's
ain't
correct.
How that game
and a
goes.
Lot of women just want to get married because they, you know, society says there's something wrong with you if you don't get married. So
no, nothing wrong with you if you don't get married, you know, because sometimes marriage might not be for an individual, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
But if you do decide to get married, you know, that has to be a team effort, and it has to be two people that shooting for the same thing and that's willing to be successful as a unit. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
One walking in the country and the other one walking down Sunset Boulevard. You know, that ain't going to get it at all. But that's
right.
A great catchy title, young lady. And just wanted to ask you, now where can somebody get that book if they want to order that book?
Okay. The nonfiction book is actually an ebook, so it is a book that you download online, and you know read. You acquire it online. It's an electronic file, and
right.
That book can be purchased at thebismo.com/user/store/Elaine Flowers.
All right, dig that. Yeah.
And then the other books are available wherever books are sold.
Okay, that sounds great then. So let's elaborate on your other book that's out as well.
Okay, let's see. Well, it's Mourning Torn Lovers and Their Stories. That was actually my second book, and it has two novellas and one short story. And each one has a love triangle with two men and one woman. So we have a woman trying to decide between two men in each one of those stories. It's a fast read, and it makes a great book club book because it really gets the dialogue going. And Black Beauty, which was my first book but has been re-released this year in March 2010, the characters in that book work in a beauty salon called Black Beauty. And as I mentioned earlier, excuse me, I'm a retired hairstylist and salon owner after about 23 years. I retired probably about 5 or 6 years ago. And so the beauty salon is what I did for the majority of my life. And so, I know all about that. So it's nothing for me to place a character. If I have a situation, place somebody in a beauty salon some kind of way because that's the area that I'm you know, most familiar with. And so I was really excited to have that one re-released in paperback this year. And like I said, the sequel to that, Broken Appointments, will come out in February, on Valentine's Day, actually. And so I'm really excited about that, too, because two of the characters from Black Beauty will spin off into that has some unfinished business. So.
Okay, sounds great. Well, I'm going to pass the mic over to my missus and let her get it in.
Okay, great.
Well, I was just reading an excerpt from your book. I Wouldn't Mind Having a Husband. I Just Don't Want to Be Somebody's Wife.
Sure.
That no one sets out in marriage contemplating a divorce, but what if you did? Maybe you could talk about that a little bit and some of the experiences in talking with the women in your hair salon, and and just also to throw it out there. Marriage is never 50-50, and I think, some people go into a marriage thinking that, it's 50-50.
Right.
And it's, maybe sometimes 50-50, but a lot of times it's 60-40, 90-10, 80-20.
Right, right.
It's give and take and help each other. Can you elaborate on that a little bit and what your thoughts were with that?
Sure. On the contemplating a divorce, what I was speaking to there, now, when I was divorced, I didn't have one of those divorces that you end up on the 10 o'clock news or whatever, where nobody went to jail. There was no domestic whatever. But it was extremely stressful. Which I would say most divorces are, very stressful. And I'm sure it depends on, a lot of variables, whether there's kids or how long you were married and, just the nature of the marriage itself. But I know that during my divorce and even after the divorce, my ex-husband was really, really bitter, and he made me bitter too, or I allowed him to make me bitter. And so there was a lot of tug of war going on, and I remember thinking when we were first splitting up, thinking that he did everything that I would have sworn he would never do, and things that I thought he would have done without a problem, he didn't do. And so I asked myself, now, the person that he is while we're going through this divorce is the person that he always was, but why didn't I see that? Why didn't I see how mean he could be? Why didn't I see how because I just think that even when people are going through a divorce, it doesn't mean that they have to, fight, or especially if it's a mutual thing, and which I felt like it was fairly mutual. Maybe not so much looking back, maybe it wasn't, but at the time I was thinking it was fairly mutual, but it was still just so much bitterness. And I just think that when you are getting married to somebody, imagine them when, don't imagine them in the good times. Imagine how they're going to treat you when things aren't so great. How ugly can they get? How mean can they get? And so that's what that part is about.
Right, and I think people, especially young people, get so infatuated with somebody, maybe just, paying attention to them or doing things for them that maybe somebody else never did, that they don't look past that. They're kind of blind to all that.
Exactly.
And when
you're feeling the butterflies, you're just not thinking like that. And
right.
In a perfect world, we wouldn't need to.
Right.
But the world is not perfect, and, everybody is on their best behavior when things are going great.
Right. I was going to comment on the what you said, I wish somebody would have told me. There's so many cases where we do tell our kids what's not good for them, but they don't want to hear it at that point, and they're going to do what they want to do anyway.
She said something like that too, but I was like, why didn't you try to stop me? Because I was 20 when I got married, which is, you know, I'm sure there are some people out there that it worked perfect for who got married young or whatever, but it was not a good idea for me because I just think at 20, you just don't have enough information in your database to make a decision based on the rest of your life. You just don't.
Right.
And
you
so,
haven't really had the chance to get out there and do you
at
either.
At all. And, so I was like, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't somebody try to stop me? And she was like, well, you acted like you were so in love. We didn't, you know. I'm thinking, what? Y'all just let me go through that whole, yeah, but. I mean, it was an experience that I wouldn't trade, but, of course, I would do things differently. And I say I wouldn't trade it just because of the knowledge that I gained from it.
Right.
Yeah, but, yeah, I really was thinking, like, why didn't somebody try to stop me? And believe me, I probably am doing overly much for my daughter. She may not ever get married by the time I get through with her, but I'm trying not to do that.
When she does, it will be the right person.
And that's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping. Please, I've already made all those mistakes. Don't recreate them. I've already done them. Make some new mistakes.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I just wanted to go back, you know, with all that we do, you know, with the gangs and drugs and educating the kids that the streets don't love them back.
Mm-hmm.
Just going back to you growing up, you said that you always dreamed of becoming a writer. And, you know, what we think about the most consumes us. What we do the most is going to take over, you know, our lives. And
yes.
Obviously that was your goal, that was your dream, and it was something that you looked forward to, but you had to be educated to do it.
Yes.
Just like, you know, if you're out here in a gang, that's your goal. I'm gonna, you know, be a gangbanger. I'm going to go on a drive-by. I'm going to, you know.
Right.
It's a totally different thing, but that's what they're, you know, thinking and dreaming of and, you know, setting goals is doing, I guess.
That's correct.
But what could you tell the kids out here, you know, about how, you know, your thought process growing up and how definitely in order to achieve your goals you had to have the education behind you to know how to read and write and you know, and be business-minded and do whatever you had to do?
Well, as far as the literary industry, if there's anyone who's listening who has any aspirations of becoming a writer or an author, my best advice is to become an avid reader. There's really no way around it. I mean, I've heard some authors say, "Oh, I don't read," or you know, and I don't even understand that concept or that logic. But you really, in order to be an effective writer, you must become an avid reader. And depending on what type of writer you want to be, whether it's articles, if you want to, you know, have some of your articles published, whatever, you need to read a lot of the things like what you want to write.
Right.
And surround yourself with people who are doing the things that you want to do. So surround yourself with other writers. Surround yourself with people in the publishing industry. And, you know, sometimes that's hard to do because there are a lot of people in the business who are not forthcoming with information, but there are always some jewels out there who will help you, give you some information, tell you some places to go. And then, of course, you know, we have the Internet now, so the Internet, anything you want to know pretty much is out there on the Internet. If you know, especially for younger people coming up, who, you know, are more savvy with that. There's just so much out there. There are so many online critique groups just to help you with your writing. And so, yeah, like you said, it's like anything else. If if that's where your mind is and that's where you put most of your focus, then you can do anything. You can do anything. And, you know, you got to have a passion for it and not just say you want to do it because you couldn't think of any. If you have a passion for it, it'll happen.
Right. Now, growing up, or did you or your kids, did anybody ever get involved with any, you know, like gang life, drugs, anything like that?
No, I can't say that we did. As far as that goes, I mean, of course, you know, like anybody else, I know I've had friends, maybe not close friends, but, you know, people that I knew well enough who, you know, took some wrong turns. And I, like anybody else, you know, I have family members who have, you know, been addicts or are still addicts. But me, myself, no. The fiction that I write is mainly about people like me. There are a few, but none of my main characters are, you know, living the urban life or that hard life. I guess I shouldn't say urban life, but the hard life of crime and drugs, and because that just wasn't my reality. But I read that kind of work. I do. I read street lit and some urban literature, but that was not my life. So, and I think it's very important to stick with what you know and not try to fake it.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Now, just like, you know, gangs and drugs, a lot of people that get into that have low self-esteem. But
exactly.
Also for a lot of young single women, you know, they get into relationships because they do have low self-esteem as well, and they're just trying to go for anybody who will accept them and show them a little bit of attention. What positive information could you maybe tell those kind of young women?
Okay. In my book, I Wouldn't Mind Having a Husband, I Just Don't Want to Be Somebody's Wife, I do have some, the section 5, which is titled Single, Saved, and Sexually Satisfied, I do talk about self-improvement and self-growth, self-esteem. And self-esteem is not necessarily. I think we're born with self-esteem, but as depending on our surroundings, it diminishes or gets taken away, and that's how we end up with low self-esteem. But I think every human being that comes into the world starts out with, you know, a normal dose. But as
right.
things happen, as they, you know, maybe they get abused, maybe they get neglected, or for various reasons, and just depending on how life goes for them as they come up, that's where you get into, you know, depending on how you saw your mother being treated by a man, you know, it can have either effect. You can either follow that road or be dogmatic about not following that road. For instance, my mother is on husband number 4. And so I wonder a lot how that affects my attitude towards, because I just feel like I probably, you know, I may never get married again, or maybe by the time I'm 60 or something, maybe I'll be ready, I'm not sure. But I think that has affected me. And, I, you know, not that that has to do with my self-esteem, but it has to do with my...
your outlook, I think.
Yeah, maybe. My outlook, and maybe even a little bit of my worthiness of having a good relationship, too. So, you know, I try to keep it real with myself. So,
right.
I, you know, I wonder, you know, how much that plays a role. And so, you know, self-esteem is extremely important, but everybody has the power within to improve their self-esteem. It just takes the will to do it. And first you need to identify that you have low self-esteem. you know, when you allow certain people into your lives to mistreat you. Another thing I talk about in the book is when, let's say, for instance, you're in a relationship and it goes bad. Or let's just use my marriage when it was time to go. I had to look at my part, and instead of focusing on, oh, he was so mean, oh, he was this, he was controlling, he, you know, whatever. What was my role in that? So taking ownership is part of raising your self-esteem too. Understanding, instead of focusing on the other person, focus in on who were you when you got involved with the person, with the man who beat you. Who were you when you got involved with a man who, you know, had no problem cussing you out? Who were you when you allowed a person to introduce you to drugs? Mm-hmm. So all of that is, you know, part of your self-esteem and your self-worth and being, you know, identifying who you are within.
And being, you know, a hair salon owner, I'm sure, you know, you hear a lot of stories about people's life as they sit in the chair and park with you. Did you hear much about how sexual abuse, I mean, and maybe they don't talk about it that much in the salon, but how sexual abuse or, you know, growing up being, you know, raped or sexually molested, how that affects relationships as they get older?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it all in the beauty salon, and, of course, I've heard that, you know, more than a few times as far as clients who were sexually molested by, you know, a sibling or a family member, you know, outside of the home or whatever. So, yeah, I've heard a lot of that. And, you know, it's not that it just happens to black women, but, of course, my clientele was mainly black women. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't want to, you know, make it sound like, you know, this only happens to black women, but with the ratio or the statistic saying that 46.4 black women will never marry, and I believe that there's a distribution problem. I don't think that there's a male shortage. I think that, you know, the men and women are not being distributed correctly. But then when you see a man and or potential a single woman and a single guy get together, there are so many variables like what you're talking about where maybe she's been abused or even he's been abused. So there are a lot of variables that keep, you know, our black men and our black women from coming together, and I think that that is one of them, where women have been molested or have a tainted view of their sexuality. I'll put it like that.
Right. Definitely. I'm going to turn the mic back over to Boyd for a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, we are having a great show tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and we definitely thank everybody for tuning in tonight. And we're going to go to a commercial, and we're going to go to a song, and we're going to come back with Miss Elaine.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I went to a party one night. We were all snorting lines, and this guy came up behind me, and he, like, said, "Hey, let's go back here. I know what we can do." And he grabbed me, and I was already high, and I got raped. My name is Jen. I'm 15 years old. I started doing meth when I was 11 years old. Kept saying no, and he wouldn't stop. And I just kind of cried afterwards, and he gave me an 8-ball, and I just said, okay, that was worth it. And then that's when I started selling my body for meth. I know a lot of my friends said, "You're going to get addicted really bad and real quick." And I just kept saying, "No, I'm not addicted." And it kind of just turned out that I wanted it every day, and I did really stupid things. I sold myself, and I stole from people, and I cheated people. I don't know anyone who's quit using meth after they've tried it a couple times or just once.
Brought to you by the Meth Project.
Yeah, yeah, this the Streets Don't Love You Back. We dedicate this to all the youths across America, all those who've been abandoned by their parents and loved ones. We let you know that God is good, always, even when no one else cares. He's there for you.
Oh, keep your head up. Oh, hey.
The streets don't love you back. Out here grinding in a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. There's only one rule, baby, I'ma get mine. The streets don't love you back. There's only one way on this lonely road. The streets don't love you back. Gotta do right before they call me home.
They'll never love you.
This is Rob Boyd checking in, letting you know the streets will never ever love you back.
When I was abandoned by my father in this world, when I was abandoned by the man that I thought loved me, it took my whole life in another direction, my mind. How can you say that you love me in this world? Never did nothing for me or my mama or my sister in this world. How can you look at yourself and be proud of what you've done? Now I say to myself, as a little child, I went to the street world and I had to learn that it didn't love me back. Now I look at life so much in a different frame, my mind. Now I know the streets will never love me back. I thank God for what he done for me, 'cause I listen to my mama in this world. Now I tell all the children, all the little boys and girls, the streets will never love you, will never love you back.
The streets don't love you back. I ain't grinding in a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. There's only one rule, baby, I'ma get mine. The streets don't love you back. There's only one way on this lonely road.
They'll never
the streets
love
don't
you.
Love you back. Gotta do right before they call me home.
I know my thoughts change the way your young mind think, and I know you wanna lounge, smoke weed and drink. And I really ain't all the type to give a speech or preach, but I promise God that I would do this if he get me out the streets. See, when I was coming up, motherfuckers was loyal, but now they cracking under pressure when the situation boils and comes to a head. Another fork in the road. Everyone got affidavits, show they codies told. They wasn't scared to do the crime, but now these motherfuckers cowards. The county was one thing, but now with no more private showers, it's all in the open. Better learn to be a man. Fuck all the pistol popping, yapping. Should've learned to use your hands. Went from pods, dorms, and day rooms to mess halls and rec yards. You think you're something special? Everybody's got it hard. Penitentiary ain't like it is on TV. And a fair joint is something hope you never have to see. I don't care how tough you think you are to humble your ass. They got a room especially for you just to beat your ass. Shit sad, it's hard. Raised by the streets with no dad. But going life with death and pressure ain't gonna never change the past. Cause
yeah, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I like to dedicate this track to my mother, my brothers, my sister, to my man LD, his wife Holly, to my manager Lucinda, to my two sons, Michael and Robert. Dedicate this to my homeboys, the Bishop Crew off Van Eyck and Harper, the Brewster Project, my man Chickaria, Warner County Project, 430 Crew, Day and Fab, rest in peace. Let's do this. You live on through my vision. The streets don't love you back. One of your own made it. Now we tell the world, the streets will never love you back. Change your ways. Change your ways. Change your ways.
Hey, hey, ladies and welcome right back here to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show, and we're kicking it live, you know, with Miss Elaine. Go ahead, Miss Elaine, and let them know. You there, Miss Elaine?
Uh-huh, I'm here.
Oh, yeah, go ahead and let the fans know what's good with you, and what's going to be happening with your next upcoming project, you know, that you got coming out on the 14th. It's going to be a release party for the book, or what's happening with that?
Oh, yeah, I always do the release party. That's one of my signature things. That will be, well, tentatively it'll be the 19th, because I want to say Valentine's Day falls in the middle of the week somewhere.
Okay.
So it's going to be that week, the following weekend here in Dallas, for whoever's listening. It's going to be in the DFW area. And like I said, I'm really excited about this particular book. It's been a long time coming. It's had a couple of release dates that, you know, it's been pushed back a few times. So I'm really ready to get this one out there. And the readers have been waiting on it for quite some time, because the first Black Beauty came out in 2004. So there have been a lot of people who have been anxiously awaiting this one coming out. And so I'm
and
excited
that's the
about
re-release
that.
Of Black Beauty?
Well, the re-release of Black Beauty was March of this year.
Okay.
So we released that one, and just to get it back out there again before Broken Appointments is being the
okay.
sequel,
so,
before
good.
The sequel, yeah. So
Broken
and that
Appointments
one, of course, is
party.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Broken Appointments, that's the one you're going to have the release party for.
Yes, in February.
Okay.
And
okay.
Black Beauty, of course, is available now. So,
and that's the e-book?
No, Black Beauty is available anywhere books are sold.
Oh, okay.
The nonfiction book is the e-book.
Okay.
Okay, dig that.
Yeah.
So do you have a website people can go to as well?
My website is under construction at the moment, but Holly Grove Publishing is who I'm signed under. So hollygrovepublishing.com also has all of my information and all of my books. And Brian W. Smith is the president of Holly Grove, and so there's, you know, other titles that are listed as well.
Okay,
right. And they can also
great.
Google your name and find out all your information as well.
Oh, yeah, Amazon.
Elaine Flowers, yeah.
Yes, Elaine Flowers. Yep, that's correct.
And now, you've gone through publishers for your published books, is that right, versus self-publishing?
Well, I actually published Black Beauty myself the first time in hardcover. And then when I was signed on with Holly Grove for It's Morning, I after It's Morning, you know, was a success, I signed a 2-book deal, and that's how I got Black Beauty done in paperback with the anticipation of Broken Appointments coming, you know, following it. So,
right.
Yes. So I've been for... I've been with Holly Grove for 3 titles. Yeah.
Sounds great, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of your publishers out of Dallas?
Well, yeah, it's in this Texas region, yes.
Okay,
yeah.
great.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody in Texas in your region would like to hook up with that type of atmosphere, you know, can you explain to them, you know, how did you really get in tune with them, and what they expect if they're in the Dallas region or Texas region trying to get a book published?
Well, let's see. I was introduced to Holly Grove through my editor, and she told the publisher about me and told me about the publisher, and that was kind of how we hooked up back in, I want to say, 2007. And, I think, well, it was either 2006, 2007. I'm not sure. I'm losing track of time. But that was one of those things where, you know, it was a matter of knowing somebody who knew somebody, and I hadn't asked her anything. She just, you know, contacted me. I have a friend who's, you know, getting his publishing company together, and I was telling him about you, and because she used to always say, why isn't your stuff out there? She said, I keep buying all of this stuff that's, you know, not that great, and you're a better writer, and I just don't understand why you're not getting picked up. Because I, you know, I did a little, submitting stuff to some agents and publishers, whatever, and it's really hard to get a book deal. Even some of the well-noted authors and some that have been around for a while, even they're having a tough time getting book deals, so they're not just handing out book deals like they used to. So I was very fortunate to get hooked up with Holly Grove Publishing, and but yeah, he's in this area. He's easy to find on the web, hollygrovepublishing.com, and he is also, you know, on Facebook, Brian W. Smith. So I'm not sure whether he's taking on new authors or not. That would be for him to say, but he's always, you know, willing to talk to up-and-coming talent that are out there.
What's your experience versus self-publishing and going through publishing as far as, you know, the groundwork and everything?
Well, let's see. My experience was what I enjoyed about independently publishing my first book was, of course, having the control. And, you know, picking my own cover, saying what was what and what was going to be what. When you're with a publisher, you have to give up some of those control aspects of, you know, maybe not being able to pick your own cover. It just depends on who you're with. And as far as, now what I love about being picked up by a publisher is I don't have to wear all those hats that I had to wear, you know, collecting money from different book venues. That was the part I probably hated the most. Now, even being with a publisher, I'm still, you know, having to do a lot of my own marketing, which, you know, every author has to do that. You know, you have to, you know, market. You have to market yourself, market your books, get out there and hustle. So that didn't change. But I didn't have to worry about trying to get my books into bookstores. That was a big headache because there's a lot of politics dealing with distributors and dealing with especially the smaller bookstores. When you have your books scattered all over the place, trying to keep track of whether or not they sold your books and do they owe you money and do you need to go back and pick your books up, especially if you do a book event out of town and you leave books, then you got to worry about trying to get the books. Yeah. So I don't miss any of that. I don't miss any of that. And, you know, when you independently publish, you have to start your own publishing company. And so that's a business outside of actually just being an author.
Right.
So, you know, hiring the editor, hiring a graphic designer for your cover, trying to get the best deal for your printer, the printing of your book, making all those decisions. So, yeah, I don't miss any of that. I mean, I've done it, and I did it, and I think I did okay for it to be a first time. And I did a hardback book, which was always my dream. I did that. The book came out wonderful for a first-time author. But, yeah, I've been there, done that, and I don't have to do it again. So,
right.
So let me ask you something. I'm hearing everything you just said, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... And what I'm hearing with what you just said, that so in a sense you don't mind giving up your publishing for somebody else to publish your book. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, and that's my opinion because I think it depends on the personality of the person. One thing to consider if you're trying to decide whether to publish or to try and find a publishing company that will take you on, one of the things to consider is, are you interested in becoming an author, or are you just trying to do one book or maybe two books? And, you know, this is kind of a hobby. You're not necessarily trying to make a career out of it. Those are things to think about, because if you're trying to make a career out of it, then you really want to get with someone who can take your book there, and that would be a publisher, unless you have those talents. Now, if you have those talents to, really market your book well and you know how to get your book in all of the stores and, you know, get with the distributor and, you know, do all of that legwork. If you know how to do all that and you want to independently publish your own stuff, then I say go for it. But if it's just about the writing of the book and you just want to get the book out, I would suggest trying to get a book deal.
Right, and in your book deal, my question is, you lose a lot of rights to your own work.
It depends on who you It depends on who you get signed, because every contract is different. No two authors sign the same type of contract. That's something to be mindful of when you're signing a contract. What kind of contract you're signing? Most of them, after so many years or whatever, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years, you have the right to take that particular book and go to another publishing company.
Right.
So you don't you shouldn't lose it for forever, but there's usually a time span on that. But like I said, it just depends on the deal that you make.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what I'm really asking you is that, when you sign your book deals and things like that, the publisher controls your book, or do it or don't it?
You mean at the time of him having ownership of the book and him
right.
publishing it and printing? Well, yeah. But he foots the bill. So, yeah, he has control over that. But that's the deal that I make.
Okay,
now, when you're publishing yourself, you foot the bill. You hire the
right.
editor. That money comes from you. You pay the book printer. You pay the graphic artist who designs your cover. You know, there's a lot of bills involved. Then you
right.
do all of so I don't have that worry.
Right.
I think the only benefit from having a publisher, and it would be, you know, obviously a company that has the info or the intel to get into all the bookstores, and,
exactly.
and it's just a lot of footwork and, like you said, a lot of politics.
Right, and I think recently distributors have just started dealing with self-published authors, because for years they wouldn't even deal with them, so you couldn't even get your book in through the distributor to get your book into the stores, because the main stores don't buy books from authors. They buy them through the distributor.
Right.
So, yeah.
And a lot of times they won't even take your book unless it comes from a distributor house.
Yeah, they really won't even take your call. So, yeah.
Right.
Let alone your book. Right.
Right. And I think that, you know, nowadays there's so many, self-published books that they're probably having to accept it.
Yeah, but I think they fall under a different type of scrutiny too. So they're not just taking anybody's self-published book,
right?
But
right.
yeah, and I think it's a lot more difficult. And I'm not sure if they work as hard, because the distributors who sell the book to the bookstores, they contact the bookstores. Look, well, I have this book and that book, and you know, I think you should put these books in. And I don't know if they do that for the self-published books. I mean, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder
right.
how hard they work to yeah. get them in the stores, actually.
Definitely.
Right. And can you tell the viewers how many, if they want the, if they don't have the money to go purchase your book, right, can you let them know what library your book is in, that they can go check your book out and read it?
Well, I believe in the Dallas-Fort Worth area there are some locations in the Plano Library, in the DeSoto Library, and I believe in Kansas, in Wichita, Kansas, there are some books in the library at the Maya Angelou Library there. Those are the ones that I know of. I don't necessarily have, you know, a listing of, you know, the libraries that have the books because it, you know, it doesn't go through me directly. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I wish I had that information.
Yeah, just wanted to put that out there just in case.
Yeah, I appreciate that because I'm a library girl, too. Yeah, I'm a library girl, too. I love the library.
Right, right. Okay, that sounds great, Dan. So what we're going to do, we're having a great time tonight with Missy Lane, and we're going to go to another song, another commercial, and we're going to come back with the dynamic author, Missy Lane.
My sister didn't do meth, and I got her into using it. And I don't know, I just kind of brought her down, and now my sister's pregnant, and she can't quit smoking, and it's really, really bad. She's like 7-8 months pregnant, and she's really tiny still. My name is Kara. I'm 15 years old, and I started doing meth when I was 11. Like, I lived with them, so then my sister was like, I'll try it, I guess. And then we started doing it every single day. I didn't think it had that big effect. I'm like, hey, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm doing it myself, you know. How could me smoking meth hurt that person? You know, they're not smoking it. They're not doing it. But it does. And my niece is a meth baby. My niece is only or a year and 5 months old. I don't know. I didn't care if I hurt anybody along the way. I just did what I wanted to do at the time. And it's just, I know I feel really, really bad.
Brought to you by the Arizona.
Give me lots of stuff, rocks and trucks. I ain't on the block with butts, but with butts I own a block like what?
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome right back here to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show once again. Kicking it with Missy Lane like we promised the fans, and we back strong, you know. We're going to pass the mic over to the missus.
We'd just like to thank you, Elaine, for coming on the show and sharing your experiences as an author. And any last words that you have, any shout-outs or any last words?
Well, thank you guys so much for inviting me on. I appreciate every opportunity that comes my way to, you know, allow me to have some exposure. So I appreciate this venue and, you know, what you guys are doing. Any final words would be for those that may be listening who have a dream, whether it's to become a writer or whatever, maybe just to get yourself together. You haven't been living the way that you want to live. My suggestion would be is to always maintain a spiritual base and get that divine intervention to help you get yourself together or to accomplish the goal that you want to accomplish, whatever that is, and just to always stay true to yourself.
Amen. Amen for that, you know. And any last shout-outs to the message you?
We'd just like to wish you the best at your next release party and with your next book. And then also they can look up your information on Google, Elaine Flowers, or thebizno.com/user/store/Elaine Flowers.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. And we just, again, thank you for coming on our show and sharing your message. And we do have a few last announcements, and then we will end with a song here. We want to remind everybody that we're having our second annual holiday toy drive, and we're accepting all new unwrapped toys. You can mail them to either the Streets Don't Love You Back Toy Drive or just Toy Drive or Boyd and Lucinda, however you want to address it. P.O. Box 1093, Maricopa, Arizona, 85139. We do have a drop-off place in Cincinnati, Ohio. That is Shenkinah Beauty Center at 7837 Reading Road, Cincinnati, Ohio. And also at Anytime Fitness in Maricopa, the address is 20924 North John Wayne Parkway, Maricopa, Arizona. And we will have some more drop-off places to come soon. We are also having a winter jacket drive or any warm winter clothes drive for the homeless, which is our main charity. And we are also accepting those at the same addresses. You can email us for more information or to set up maybe a pickup at the Streets Don't Love You Back at gmail.com or Lucinda Fieros, RN, or Lucinda Boyd, RN, at gmail.com. And all this information is on our website. So you can, there's several ways to get a hold of us, several drop-off places. And if you're, you know, at another town, you can mail us either donations or the toys itself can be mailed to mailing addresses. We just, you know, want to try to take care of the less fortunate, especially during the holiday season. Boyd?
Yeah, we just want to let everybody know also, you know, the first 500 people, which has been going good, to download the Streets Don't Love You Back ebook. We ask you to just keep downloading that, and we're just going to keep sending out Slim Goody Cold as Ice Free CD to everybody. So we want to thank everybody who's been purchasing the ebook, and we want you to continue purchasing the ebook, and you can also purchase the paperback at our movement site at www.thestreetsdon'tloveyoubackmeme.com. And we thank you for all your support with our second.
You know, even if you
drive.
Do open, even if you do order the paperback before Christmas, we'll still send you that free Slim Goody CD. And the song that we just played is one of the songs on that CD.
No doubt. So we're just thanking everybody for tuning in tonight, hearing Miss Elaine's story, and get her book, you know, and also Google her name up for more information. So we asking you, all the viewers that's listening tonight, click on, get that ebook that she got out, go out to the stores and get that paperback, and we asking you to support her as well. And we just thanking everybody and wishing everybody a great, great Thanksgiving, a great holiday, a great New Year's, and making it safe and a great holiday season, you know. And always remember, each one teach one, and the streets don't love you back. Thank you, Missy Lane, for coming on the show tonight.
And we just also want to wish everyone, tomorrow is Veterans Day, so we'd like to give thanks to all the veterans and everyone remember the people that have fought for our country tomorrow on Veterans Day, and have a safe Veterans Day. And we're going to close out tonight with a song, and remember, the streets don't love you back, and join us next Wednesday night. And even though the time zone has changed, we're still 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific, Arizona time changed a little bit. Our time didn't change, but the show changed to 9:30, and I believe Central time is 10:30. So 11:30 Eastern, and then figure out your time zone. So we will see you again next Wednesday night. Have a great week.
All right. Take care, Missy Lane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is B-O-Y-D and Struggle coming straight at you, baby. Much love to my homeboys up in Detroit off Van Acken Harbor. Much love goes out to my homeboys in Cincy that's always kept it real. And to your player haters, this goes out to you.
No need to look any further. Look like brother, what you thought? Boy, Greg is knocking you out like Robert Tussin. Does it go? Made you pull up with this northern exposure. Smoking Doja, and I'm coming on the real. Yes, the real, I thought I told you. And I'm feeding into your questions just like HIV. Stand away from all them player hating people with degrees. It's time to come up. Why do you better not run up? Because you put your faith and your plans into another man's head. That move is bogus. Struggle's here to let you know this. That you never ever be a part of the dopest. Who put your faith in the spot? Who cooled it off when it was hot?
Who made it live when it was? Now you can't even speak it.
It's time to nut check. Time for respect. Time to break neck. You want it out for family. Now it's time for you to check. And you chasing waterfalls that wasn't meant, fool. In other words, you played yourself. Now who's cool?
Hey, girl, you played yourself.
No, 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 you played yourself.
Hey, girl, you played yourself.
You played yourself.
Hey, girl, you played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself. Because you didn't play the cards that was dealt. Partner, you played yourself. You trying to engage yourself with some people who didn't have no freaking wealth. So how's your health? Ain't nothing good gonna come out your freaking game. Cause everything you do bad gonna come back twice the pain. Who's to blame? Listen to the black rain. About to shake the ground for all you black stabbing people in this town. I'm known to bring the anger, make you hiss like a snake. Here's a hint from my partner.
Break it down in your face.
Hey, yo, I'm biggity black up in you two. Dissect you like a chemist. You played yourself, and I was a witness. Your career's finished. Don't be misled by the words that I speak. I keep it real. You had a taste of both sides. Not how it feels.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
No, 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 you played yourself.
I said you played yourself.
You played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself. Cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
You can be as good as the best of them and bad as the worst of them, but don't test me, brother. No, brother, don't test me, no.
You be like that Benedict on the backstabbing brother behind my back. But in my face, you be like Struggle, yo. Where the party at? I be like push on. Get on, get out my face, partner. Cause ain't no love lost, and ain't no love here neither. I can't believe that you betrayed me. Took food from my face, but you have been acting kinda shady lately. So I got to push you to the curb. Fly away like a bird. Partner, you need to stop smoking all that herb. If you would've came to me, Imano, Imano, we would've squashed it at the gate. But you chose to segregate. Play a hate, get it straight. Partner, you played yourself.
No, 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 you played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
You played yourself.
I said you played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself. Cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
Brother, relax your mind and let your conscience be free. Get down to the sounds of struggling I'll be. Your negativity be sizzling against my surface. Cause the things that I did for you, your ass didn't deserve it. Now I'm on some payback for the things you did like way back. Answering all your questions like my name was Bat Sajak. Jesus had 12 disciples and one wasn't true. And he knew, like I knew, I never ever should to mess with you, so I'm gonna do what I gotta do and then some. If a brother try to flex, I take his life for ransom. Even when I'm by myself, I roll with a crew of soldiers, sick as fluid soldiers, known to turn your body black and blue. I told you, why did you test me? I'm the one who put you on. See, if it wasn't for me, you'd be like a mobile phone on Rome, cheat. It ain't no me and us, it ain't no he and we. I thought we would be together like OJ and AC. You were that
pull a trigger for. You a freaking bitch for. Now you just that off-brand nigga, bro. You played yourself. No, 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 no. I said you played yourself. Hey, yo, you played yourself. No, partner, you played yourself. Hey, yo, you played yourself. Wait a minute, you played yourself. Cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
You can be as good as the best of them and bad as the worst of them. But don't test me, brother. No, brother, don't test me, no.
Why did you test me, gangster? I told you don't never tempt me. But now I gotta come at you for real now. You should have kept it real. But when you don't keep it real, situations sometimes get hectic in your life. But you should have understood. So why did you play yourself, player? I look at you all the time when you don't think I see you. I see you. Boys up north, baby. We got our own way of dealing with player haters.
Come on.